Today's daf in Masechet Beitzah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is actually daf Chav Beis, but we're still holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Chav Aleph on the Beis, because we had jumped ahead a little bit. So if Richie wouldn't mind introducing things, we'd be ready to go. Just in time for Naftali to show up. So here's the Mishnah of Aleph Amud Beis. Beit Shammai Omrim Lo Yachim Adam Chamin L'Raglav Ela Im Ken Ru'uyin L'Shtiyah. So Beit Shammai holds, you cannot even warm up water to wash your feet unless that water was usable for drinking. Now the question is, what good does it do if it's usable for drinking? Because remember that if you do not hold of Mitoch, and Beit Shammai does not hold of Mitoch. We had that whole discussion before about the question of whether you're allowed to bring a Karban Eilah on Yontif. And it's not, even though there is a Mitoch, according to Beis Hillel, there's no Mitoch, according to Beit Shammai. And so the fact that it was usable to drink, how does that give you a right to use it for your feet? Of course, there's another issue over here. Isn't washing yourself, isn't that the equivalent of Ochel Nefesh? So, apparently what Beit Shammai is saying here, as Rashi explains, is that Ochel Nefesh means precisely what it says, Ochel Nefesh, eating. It doesn't mean things similar to Ochel Nefesh. At least that's how we understand it now. We'll talk a little bit about it in a moment. So Tosfos explains that when it says over here, Ru'uyin L'Shtiyah, he brings from the Yerushalmi that they actually, according to Beit Shammai, since we don't know the Mitoch, the Ru'uyin L'Shtiyah means that he would have to actually drink some of the water. And that it's not just that it has to be theoretically ru'uyin. And that way we were makels that it's considered to be urkel nefesh. Beit Hillel, on the other hand, are matirit completely l'chora, because obviously they do hold a mitoch. And, that would mean that even if it were not considered to be urkel nefesh, which is not so partial, it could be according to Beit Hillel, it's always urkel nefesh, as we'll talk about in a moment, but they would still hold that it would be mutter, because of mitoch. Now, there's something that's very curious about this, because if it's an actual, if we're going to be matter things because of mitoch, so then there shouldn't be any kind of limitations on it. If I have some kind of need for it, so I have some kind of need for it. It's not, certainly, the need for bringing the Korban Eilah that we said before, he's going to feel bad because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shulchan is Reikon and his Shulchan is Malay. needing to take a shower is a heck of a lot more powerful than just that emotional issue, isn't it? And yet, it's not so poshut that we're talking about anything other than liraglav, as opposed to his entire body. So, as we'll see more about this in a moment, but the idea over here is that once we have limitations on what it is that we're going to allow, for whatever reason those limitations are put into place, where the rabbanu were chayshish that you would end up doing things that bichlal weren't tzarech, or because of the fact that on Shabbos certain things are usher, and we made gezeres, let's say, like the gezer that we had about americhats and so on, which is still not allowed to go into the americhats on Yantam, and things like that. So the question over there is, it would have to be a clear-cut oichal nefesh that is something that is not idiosyncratic. If it's idiosyncratic, then it doesn't count as oichal nefesh. And what that means is that we have something that is only for people who are very sensitive or very spoiled, mufunakim, unagim, and so on. So that's not considered to be a universal need for Litzorach Ochol Nefesh. Litzorach Ochol Nefesh is defined by these standards, but Rabbanan, even where we're going to use Mitoch, as having a universal connection to people. Now, that throws into question whether Bichlal, nowadays, this is still correct, because indeed, many of the posts can talk about it at that time, to take a shower every day with Franashim Unagim. And nowadays, as a lot of the poskim discuss, that's a given, is that everybody showers. So, okay, we'll see more about this in a moment. But according to Beis Hillel, it would certainly be mutter without its needing to be Roy L'Shtia, and it's considered to be A, Tzurich Echol Nefesh, and B, even if it weren't, then we still have the heter, Alibin Beis Hillel, of Mitoch, Shutra L'Tzurich, Utudam Yishalot L'Tzurich. So there should be no reason why it would be a problem. Now, it's not clear at all whether this is a continuation of what it is that Beit Hillel was saying or whether this everybody agrees. You can make a bonfire and get warm. Now, it could be that when we said before that Alibra Beit Shammai, he holds Ochol Nefesh means literally Ochol Nefesh, it may not be so extreme. It may not be literally. It may be the meaning of Ochol Nefesh in the sense that your entire self is nene from it. So just to warm your toesies is not considered to be Ochol Nefesh. It's not your entire self. But if you're cold and you're sitting in front of a fire, a bonfire, maybe even Beit Shammai would be made that that is more similar to the reality of Ochol Nefesh. This also, the Gemara is about to discuss. This last piece that we had in the Mishnah that says that you can make a Midura. Who said that? Is that true even according to Beit Shammai? So Divrei HaKohi, and indeed Beit Shammai recognizes that there's a fundamental difference between something where his entire body derives benefit, and that's similar to Ochol Nefesh, because the thing of Ochol Nefesh is not the fact that it's necessarily consumption that goes into your stomach. The point of Ochol Nefesh is that the entire self is nene from it. Your entire body is nene. And therefore, if it's a bonfire that's going to warm your body, maybe he agrees that that's the equivalent of Ochol Nefesh, Basha Enkein, just washing your feet in hot water. That's not the same thing. Or maybe Beit Shammai really holds that when we say Ochol Nefesh, we mean actually and literally Ochol Nefesh. And therefore, to sit and get warm in front of a bonfire, you're not eating anything, and therefore it's not included, and he doesn't hold a mitoch. So Mamela, he can't be matirit for a bonfire either. So what do you say? Maybe it's Dilma Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel Katanila, and Beit Shammai, in fact, would not be Maida, even in this case, because they don't make any difference between Loshanilu, between real the difference between a real Ochol Nefesh and different levels of how much Hanoi you're getting. That they don't hold as a meaningful issue. Well, Tashma, look at the Braita. Beit Shammai Omrim, here we got Beit Shammai saying openly, Lo Yaseh Adam Midura V'Yitchanen Kinekta. There you go, oh my gosh. So Beit Shammai actually holds very literally, either you're going to be eating or you're not going to be doing it. Or you could create a situation where at least you will be partaking of it for food, so then you can do it. Masha Inke Beit Hillel are Matir. Now, in terms of the Halakha L'maisa over here, it's not clear whether when Beit Hillel were Matir, were they only being Matir those things that are universal, meaning that they are being Matir, Punav, Yodav, Viraglov, which we know is brought Lahalakha to so many different things, where that is considered to be a norm that everybody feels they need to wash their hands, their feet, and their face. So there are those who hold that, yes, he's only arguing on that issue over here at Beit Shammai. He never said you can heat for your entire body to take a shower. Now, actually, you can say just the opposite. And there are, in fact, many Rishonim who say just the opposite. We just pointed out that it might have even been true that according to Beit Shammai, would be matir for your whole body. So that means Kosher King Beit Hillel should be maskin, that if you're going to wash your whole body, for sure it's mutter. On the contrary, if it's limited hanah, then you need more of a koyach hatera to be matir, right? Like the Ramban holds that svar, number of Rishonim hold that svar. Anyway, halakha l'maisa, the svardim are meko, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's okay to utilize the water that was warm from before for your whole body at once. You take a regular shower on yantav, there's no problem. You just have to be careful about squeezing out your hair. But other than that, if you're not going to come day sleep, they're squeezing out the towel. So then there's no problem. The Rama says to be machmir, and to you can take the shower, but you can't put yourself entirely under the shower one time. So, you know, you have to use one of those telephone showers, hand shower, and wash off different parts of your body separately, even though in the end you're going to be taking a whole shower. As I said earlier, there are many poskim who talk about Bizman HaZeh, that it's ridiculous to say it's not Shavu'ah Kol Nefesh. Of course it's Shavu'ah Kol Nefesh. What could be more Shavu'ah Kol Nefesh than taking a shower? In which case the Rama should no longer be limiting for Ashkenazim either. But okay, but he does bring that that's the minhag the Rama brings, but there's certainly plenty who would be matir. For some reason, people don't take showers on Yantavan. I think that that's a terrible thing, because Sometimes it's like it really wrecks your yontev. I mean, especially if Sukkot is like really hot, and you're sitting out there, and your Sukkot is going to make all the difference in the world to be refreshed and so on. It's a mamash kavod yontev. So, like, why in the world would you not do something that you want to do to be machmer, not to do it when there's certainly ways to do it behet or gomer? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. So I would suggest taking showers on yontev. Okay. Anyway, moving on. So the what we've shown is that we're ready for Sir Richard. That's what we've shown. And he's going to be coming back in over here in his sukkah.
Hello, my voice has had a chance to recuperate after the last
one. I know, but I'm assuming in your own sukkah you've got some talisker and stuff like that that helps for recuperation, right?
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. Shloshat varim, Rabbi Gamliel machmir kedivrei Beit Shammai. Now, it's very strange to see Rabbi Gamliel, of all people, who is a great-grandson of Hillel, to go ahead and to be machmir like Beit Shammai. Whew, that's pretty chutzpahdik. But anyway, he was. And there were three things that we're going to see why. And one of them was, number one, ein tomnim et achamin b'yom tov for Shabbos. So you can't do, and Gemara's going to ask, I mean, what do you mean you can't? Did you make an Erev Tavshilin or did you not make an Erev Tavshilin? That we're going to talk about. But you cannot do Hatmanah for some reason, which is really weird because, I mean, Hatmanah is like the least thing, right? I mean, if you even cook from Yontav for Shabbos, so why in the world wouldn't you be able to do Hatmanah? Like, Hatmanah is just keeping things warm, and it was like a gzera, because maybe, you know, you're going to end up warming it up, because you'll see that it was getting cool right before Shabbos. You remember the whole sugya that we had back in Masechet Shabbat. So the last thing you'd expect anybody to be machmer on was specifically on Hatmanah, as opposed to all the other things, real cooking. For some reason, like, that's the one thing that he was machmer to go like Beit Shammai. And furthermore, in Zokfinat HaMenorah B'Yom Tov, Beit Shammai said you're not allowed. Now, this sounds like, it's going to turn out to not be that, but it sounds like if you had a menorah that fell over, you can't lift it up. It's like, why in the world not? But okay, we'll talk about what the case is over here. And the third thing is, ein ofin pitin gritzin ela rikikin. You can't bake thick bread on Yontav. You can only bake like pitot. And again, so the Gemara is going to have to go into all of these things, but this, obviously, this issue must have to do with Tircha on Yontav. What else could it be? And what's the difference how thick the bread is? And Omer Rebbe Gamliel said, listen, don't look at me as being a nut. I mean, I could tell you, Mimeyem Shel Beit Abba, as long as I lived in my father's household, which was the Beis Hanasi, I mean, nobody did this. Lo en yuofin pitin gritzin el rikikin on Yontav. So the Chachamim said to him, don't start bringing us rayas from what your frummy parents and grandparents did. They would only do those things for themselves. They would never paskin for anybody else, l'chumra. They were machmer on themselves. Fine. Shoyu machmirin al atzmam, but they were always mekilim l'kol Yisrael. Liyotofin, pitin, gritzin, v'chararim, they didn't make the slightest difference to anybody else. The Rambam actually brings this in a tshuva of the tremendous madrega of Gedalia Yisrael that would never allow the way that they were knowing themselves and how they wanted to be machmir to in any way affect like what they expected from other people. And that would have been terrible. He talks about that as being like a Yisod Godel and Psak and so on. And he brings a number of examples. He brings this Gemara itself for this discussion in the Mishnah. Okay, so now what is the case? First of all, tell me you can't do Hatmana from Yontav to Shabbos. Did you make an Erev Tavshilin or not? I mean, if you made an Erev Tavshilin, why would Beit Shammai possibly have said that you're not allowed to do Hatmana, that Rebbe Gamliel should paskin like that? And if you did not make an Erev Tavshilin, so what does it have to do with Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel? Why would Beit Hillel have been matir doing something on Yontav to do Hachana for Shabbos if it's Osir Mamish? I mean, the only way that we're matir these things is, even if it's only Drabanan, obviously, there's nothing that we do that is make. We don't do any level of Hachana, even something that is just mamish moving something. So how in the world would Beis Hillel be matir it? Omer Avuna, the idea over here is, in fact, that it's talking about that you did not make an Erev Tavshilin. So you're asking me, so why would Beis Hillel have said that you could do Atmana? Because what nobody told you is that kidei chayav shor le'rabbanan, that in a case where somebody forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin, he doesn't have any way of getting anything to eat for Shabbos, so enough, just the minimum, for getting along on Shabbos, the Rabbanan were matir, according to Beis Hillel. So because of that, part of your needs for Shabbos is Hatmana. And this would be, by the way, this is Rav Huna's Shita all along, because we didn't necessarily see this to be the way that we paskin earlier, because this is Rav Huna l'shitasa. The Omer Rav Huna, mi shaloi niach eruv tafshilin, ofin lo patachat, umevashlin lo kedera achat. So you're allowed to make a one single loaf of bread and one single pot of food. In other words, absolute minimum. Umadlikin lo et haner, and you're allowed to light one candle for him. Mishum Rabbi Yitzchak Omer af tzolim lo dat katan, you can give him also one piece of broiled herring, whatever, right? Now, some are medayik lo, which means that other people are going to be doing it for him. But of course, the poskim taina, that's crazy. Because if it means you do it for him, then what do we need Rav Huna for? You're always allowed to do, you could take even his food and remember his kemach, and he can give his kemach to other people and they can be making lo. So how would it possibly mean for? So, I mean, the Rosh is beferish that this language of madlik and lo, that simply means that the people that usually help him out in the house, they do it for him. It doesn't mean that you go ahead and can't do it yourself. Obviously, if you want to do it yourself, for sure, you can do it yourself. There's a different question over here, and that is when it says Madlikin lo etaner, does that mean that without having an Erev Tavshilin, then you cannot light a candle for him? So, I mean, this is a big machlokas. When it says over here that according to Rav Huna, you can light only one candle, if that's what it means. Ner means ner echad. So you see from here that if a guy doesn't have an air of tafshilin, that he cannot light a candle. So it's a big machlokas how to read this, whether it means literally ner echad or not. Because according to the Rambam, you do not need an air of tafshilin for hadlakas neras at all. Tanya Nami, Lamaisa, we do paskin that you do need it. And even this halacha of being able to light a single candle, the Peskim bring does not apply to Zman Hazeh. Because since everyone has electricity on anyway in the house, so then the hadlaka of the Ner is not really necessary for him. It's only there in terms of the covet of Yontem, but it's not necessary for him to do food preparation or anything else. And therefore, there wouldn't even be matir, that single Ner. And there's a braita that backs up exactly this shita, which is Tanya Nami Hachi, Mi Shaloi Niach Eruv Tavshilin, Ofin Lo Patachat, Tomnim Lo Kidera Achat, Badlikin Lo Tanur, Bechamin Lo Kiton Echat, you can make him up a small pot of water, and Yeshomrim Avtolim Lo Dag Katan. So Beit Hillel, that's why Beit Hillel was Matir, and Beit Shammai was not. So Rebbe Gamliel was Machmir like Beit Shammai. Rava says no. I mean, that doesn't explain the Hatmona issue. We're trying to figure out over here something that would make Hatmana worse than anything else, right? So what would that be? I mean, you say what? Like it's not really all that important to be Matmin? I mean, I say the point is on the contrary. He did make an Erev Tavshilin. And believe it or not, the thing that you would have thought is the most obvious thing that is Mutter, actually Beit Shammai says is not Mutter. You know why? Because when you're cooking things, nobody knows when you're cooking it for. But when you're doing hatmana, obviously you're insulating things so that they should be warm for later. So then it's like you're announcing, oh, I'm not doing this for Yontif, I'm doing this for Shabbos. For Shabbos, how are you like? So then that would be the reason that we would be dafka more machber on hatmana. Think it out, says Rava. Okay, that's great. So shiny hatmana, the mukhamil, it's so obvious, anybody who sees this, what the heck is he doing? He's preparing for Shabbos. Eitveabayit. So Abaye found a braita that says something very different than what Rava just said. Chananya Omer, Beit Shammai Omrim, Enofim Ela Imkein Erev Bepat. Remember that we had this before. We had the sheet of Chananya goes according to Beit Shammai before. You can't bake unless you made an Erev by baking. You can't cook unless you made an Erev by cooking. And you can't be tomein unless you made an Erev by doing Hatmana. So each element of the Erev is matir, the thing that it's like. But what does that imply? It's mashma that if he did have chamin that were tumunim, then he could certainly use an Erev for Hatmana. That's what Beit Shammai just said. Now you just told me, Rava, that that's not true. And that the one thing you can't do with an Erev is Hatmana. And that's what Beit Shammai held, and that's what Rabbi Gamliel was machmer. Here's Beit Shammai himself telling you that you cannot do Hatmana unless you made an Erev Tavshilin for Tatmana. So obviously you can't do Hatmana if you have an Erev Tavshilin. So Afagav, the Mukha Milta, the Shabbos Kavit. So look, it was a very brilliant point that you made. It's just wrong, unfortunately, because Beit Shammai doesn't agree to it, but it was definitely a good try. Anyway, so forget about it. We no longer have this difference between the Erev Tavshilin and Vatmona or anything else. So Abaye says, okay, so I'm going to suggest a different explanation. Omar Abaye, look, we're talking about a case. The whole point over here is that the guy made an Erev, but he made like a regular Erev, like everybody makes with a piece of bread and with a piece and with a kugel of some kind, right? Or something that you were cooking. So he was not, he did not make a separate act of an Erev for Hatmana. That's all that Rabbi Gamliel was saying is. And that if you didn't make that separate Hatmana, which is like, people don't think of that. That's not what they do for an Erev. They just take something, put it together, and you know, this is the Erev. So this, in fact, the Mishnah is going according to Hananya, who is posking that according to Beit Shammai, if you didn't make a special Erev for Hatmana, then you can't do Hatmana. Even though you have a big, beautiful Erev Tavshilin together with pots and everything else, it's not going to help you. Okay, so that takes care of three possibilities for the first Rabbi Gamliel Chumra like Beit Shammai. Now, what about the next thing? That supposedly Beit Shammai said that if a menorah falls, you can't lift it up. What? Why can't you lift it up? I understand. You're allowed to light it. I mean, so what do you mean you can't lift it up? Micah Avid, what in the world are you doing wrong by putting it back up again? Omer of Chinin of Rabisa, no, it doesn't mean that. This is talking about a menorah that is made out of pieces like Lego, in which that's the menorah shechulios, and then when it fell over, the Lego busted apart. And now the question is, can you put it back together again? When you lift it up, and now the Lego all goes back into place, and that's the question about Yesh Binyan Bekalim, and it's a completely different issue. It's nothing to do with the question of lighting things. So we're talking about menorah shechulios, where they have these separate parts that click into each other, and putting it right is mirsi kabona, and this is the machlokas that we've spoken about in the past, that according to Beit Shammai, there's a problem because of Yesh Binyan Bekalim. And according to Beit Hillel, there's no problem because ain't binyan bekelim. That's all. It's just like the old, and there's no binyan bekelim, there's no steer bekelim, and therefore it's not a problem. Now, Ula once came to Rav Yehuda's house, and it was Yontif, and Kam Shame, and Zakifle Lishraga. So this was a different issue. Actually, this was not the case of the Chulia. What he did was that when he picked it up, he ended up tilting it. So that way, it was, when he picked it back up again, the oil was no longer going to get to the wick the way that it was before, because now all the oil had fallen over close to the wick. And when he picked it up, now the oil went back into the container next to it and wasn't at the same level in the wick. And because of that, it was going to go out. So it means that he ended up causing kibui. So, Eisfe Reb Yehuda Le'ula, Hanotein Shemen Bener, Chayav Mishum Mavir, V'hamistapek Mimenu, Chayav Mishum Mechabeh. When you make the oil, you take oil out of the lamp, which is what your guy just did over here, so then that should be usher, because a mechabe, there was no heter to do kivoy on Yontav. Why should I put out a flame on Yontav? I understand. I can light because I need to cook with it, but why would I be allowed to put it out? So I don't understand how you allowed him to do it. Said Ula, I didn't allow him. I wasn't actually paying attention, and it was lavadatai. He did this on his own. He didn't ask me, and I just, I lost concentration. I wasn't watching everything that he did. Omar Rav, Kan ba Shori. So there's a different, Girsaot over here. If Kan ba, the Girsa of a year, Kan ba, which is Rashi's Girsa, many of the Rishonim, is that what it means is that you're allowed to pull a piece off of the wick so that it lights better. And that you're allowed to do on Yontif, because that way it's not gonna, when you have a big wick that's all half burnt, then the flame isn't good. So you're allowed to pull off the piece that was already burnt. Others have kinsa shari. Kinsa shari, that's the Rif's Girsa, is it's talking about if you have pieces of wood that are all going to be burning one after the other, you are allowed to take away pieces of the wood because they are not currently connected to, like the oil is, where all of the oil becomes one thing. And that's a big difference. So that you would be able to take it away. Now, the truth is, I got to tell you, there's big machlokas and Rishonim over here about the question of the oil. Because, I mean, here Rashi says the question of the oil is that it actually, when you took away the oil, the moment you took the oil down, so then it already makes a difference in how much flame there is. Now, I mean, that's not so partial. And according to Tosis as well, when I remove oil even from the other side, because of the change in the pressure, there's going to be a change in the level of the light. The Rosh Tain is, it has absolutely zero to do with that, and even less to do with what Rashi claims. Rashi says it because you were miyachated in that way in the first place. In other words, since you had set aside this oil to be the oil that was going to be burned, so then that defines the light. And if you take away some of it, so then that is not what was originally meant to be the light. Now, there's big nafkaminas over here. For instance, in a candle, could you cut away part of the candle? Because if you're talking about a solid thing, you're obviously not going to be affecting the level of the oil and the light at that point. The Rush says nothing to do with either of those things. When the idea over here of the kibui is kibui in time, not kibui now in place. That's not the point. The point is it's not going to be burning as long as it would have been burning, and that was what you had set up originally. So this leads to a fascinating question, because what about a gas oven? Right? See, now you got gas. Now, is gas considered to be like all connected the way the oil would be? Or is it by definition a gas is the equivalent of the kinsa? Because each molecule is a separate molecule of gas, and it's not like the fact that it happens to all be in one gigantic gas container. I mean, I certainly did not intend to burn through my entire gas container or all the gas in the world. I mean, so you can't use Rashi's far if this is the way you set it up. And the truth is, there's a fascinating note by Rav Meisha where he's talking about this sugya, and he writes on the side, I don't want to put in writing my opinion about gas. So obviously, he held that there's not really a problem, which is why he was actually matir, turning down the level of gas, because he says, instead of lighting a new fire, which is at the right height, and then you won't have to be mechabeh, he says, there's no problem to be mechabeh, I guess, if your fire is too high, so turn the fire lower, so that the food doesn't burn. Because this, I mean, he didn't want to say like his osfara, but it's clear and it makes so much sense. I mean, what in the world makes gas the equivalent of the oil? It's a completely different concept in terms of what it is that's going to be burning. So it's really, really, really fascinating. Anyway, there's certainly what to be semich on in terms of, if it's necessary for the cooking to be able to turn down the fire, even though the svardim are makbet on that, but also only because of recent sukkim, including Chacham Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, who was machmer on it, where Rav Meisha was making. And I wish I had known that at the time. I used to be very close with him. I would have discussed it with him, but I only found out after he was nifter that he wrote a tshuva on that to be machmer. Anyway, boy mine Abba Bar Martha mi Abaye. What would be the idea? Would it be mutter to turn off a fire for Davar Acher? Now, Davar Acher is really very problematic. Because, I mean, what the Mefarshim say over here is that what we're talking about over here is intimacy. So, in other words, if you need to sleep with someone intimately, so would you be allowed to turn off the fire? Because you're not supposed to have intimate relations in front of a lamp. But the problem is, we never refer to sex as a dover acher, ever. The only time we use dover acher is in terms of tsaraz, or avodah zarah, or illicit sex. Yes, then we say dover acher. But I mean, to call, it's interesting that some suggest that maybe it didn't say dover acher, it said dalet aleph, which meant derech eretz, made derech eretz, right? And somebody who was a little bit hung up wrote in dover acher. So that makes sense. I mean, certainly more than the Gemara would say dover acher. It's very not nice language. But anyway, so the question over here is, would you be allowed to turn off the fire in order to allow for intimacy? So Abaye said, well, you could always go to a different room. So Abba Bar Marta said, don't give me you could. And if you don't have another room, what do you mean? Well, you know, you could always make a mechitza. And if you don't have a mechitza, what is that supposed to mean? It wouldn't necessarily the guy has a sheet or something. No. I'm asking you questions. Stop trying to get out of the question. I don't. You could do this and you could do that. Well, you could always take something and put it over like those Shabbos lamps, you know, and then it would be like turning it off. Okay. I asked you whether you're on, what if you don't have something to put on top of it? What's the din? It's usser. So now the question is, of course, that's a big chiddush. I mean, why would it be usser? Certainly, derech eretz is a tzorech of the entire body. So why in the world would be usser more than erchel nefesh? So there's some interesting svaras among the Achronim, and the Poskim, I think the Bach even brings this, is that what you're doing when you're turning off the light, you're not having any hana when you turn off the light. Turning off the light is the malacha, but it's just making it possible for you to enjoy yourself. That's not the same thing as doing something which is giving you the ochel nefesh, giving you the pleasure. So maybe because of that, Abaye said it's usher because it's so indirect in terms of what ultimately you'll get out of it. I need to turn off the light, so therefore I'll turn off the light. And I mean, the light has nothing to do with your pleasure. Eitve. So Abba Bar Marta said to him, how can you tell me it's usher? It says over here, in the chabina tabakat k'tei l'chuselav. Suppose you got a big piece of wood, and the big piece of wood is burning, and now you finish cooking, and now, oh, heck, I'm going to like burn up all my fuel, and I don't even need it. So can I put it out so I'll have the fuel tomorrow? No. If it's k'dei l'chuselav, just so that you should be able to save more wood, you can't do that. But if l'maisa, it's getting smoky and it's filling the house with smoke, or it's burning the pot or whatever, then you can. So then it's mutter. So, I mean, for heaven's sakes, if you're allowed to put out a fire for something you need on Yontav, so you should certainly be allowed to put it out in order to allow for derech eretz on Yontav. No, I mean, that's much more common than smoky houses. Oh, Malay, no, that's true, but that's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, we're going to see later on that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even makshirei oichal nefesh mutter. He allows you many steps before anything that ultimately is going to serve your oichal nefesh's mutter. So yes, of course it would be mutter according to him. I wasn't talking about according to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. What's the shayla? Of course you could turn off the light. Ki kamina ana l'rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, who are machmir, and they say that if you're talking about a makshirei oichal nefesh, so the truth is that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but we're going to see later on that we don't make that berabim, the psak, because it would lead people to be overly makel, right? So now, if that's the case, that Abaye wasn't telling him the truth, that would explain all the weird stuff going on in the beginning where Abaye said, well, you could always do this, you could always do that. I mean, that was crazy. What do you mean you could always do that? Somebody asking you a question, answer the question, right? But if Lemaisa, as we're going to see later on, the halacha really is like Rabbi Yehuda, except you're not supposed to make it public and a drasha and so on. So Abaye was trying desperately to avoid the discussion because he didn't want to tell him something that wasn't true. But on the other hand, he didn't want to say they were in public and he didn't want to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in public. So then the Gemara would make a lot of sense. And we're going to see later on that that's actually later on what we say, that it's true, we paskin the kula, but it's supposed to not be bekala. You're not supposed to say it openly. So, okay, I was talking, I'll leave it around. Boy mine abaya mi rabba. How about putting out a fire on Yontif? Obviously, if there's any chashash of sakonis nefoshes, echidik of sakonis nefoshes, of course, I mean, that you could do even on Shabbos. I'm talking about where you're going to be losing money because of this fire. Now, the mefarshim explain, if you are in the house where the house is on fire, I mean, there's no greater need for tzerichokol nefesh than that. I understand what you're supposed to be, have your house destroyed, not have where to be on Yontif. You know, I mean, you're not, we were talking about not allowing the pot to get smoky and you're allowed to turn off, but to destroy your whole house, there's a shadow whether you're allowed to put out a fire. That's crazy. It's talking about over here, there's a fire in a property that you own down the block, whatever. Nobody's in there. You're not in there. You don't use that property. It's a garage or whatever. Are you allowed to put it out because of the tsar that you're going to have on losing the money? It's going to put you in a lousy mood and so on and so forth. That's the question, but not literally. So the question is, Mishum Ibud Mamon, my. So Rabbi said to him, no, for Ibud Mamon, you can't. Well, says Abaya, look, I mean, Ein Bechavina Tabakat Kidei Lechusala. But if it's to avoid the house getting all smoked up, then it's mutter. So, I mean, that means you have some kind of level of need on Yontif. So, I mean, why can't, isn't this obviously a need of not that my garage burned down to the ground? I mean, to say, you know, to get a little smoke in the air and set off a smoke alarm, that I'm allowed to put it out for. But to let that garage burn down to the ground, I'm not allowed to. It doesn't make much sense to me. Says Rav, excuse me, that's true, but that was going again according to Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, of course you're allowed to put it out. But that din of the Bakat was Rabbi Yehuda, and you're allowed to put it out for sure to stop the garage from burning down. Kika mina ana le Rabbanan. I was also saying, just like Abaya was going like the Rabbanan, I was also going according to the Rabbanan. Fine. Boy mina Ravashi miyamira. Mal kholata yayin biyamtav. Are you allowed to put in that medication, the kol, which you're not allowed to do, remember, because of the gzera of shchikat samamanim. So you're not allowed to do refuah on Shabbos. And the question over here, would you be allowed to do it on Yontif? And here's my question. Now, obviously, where there's any danger at all, and a danger would be an eye that is as mucus discharge, so there's rira, or there's ditsa. Ditsa means there's a sense of a sharp stabbing pain in the eye. Or dama, or there's, you could see like a lot of blood, in the eye, or there's a lot of tearing in the eye. Or kadakta, or it's, there's burning in the eye. And you're at the beginning of this, developing situation. For sure you're allowed. Even on Shabbos, that is actually considered to be sakonis nefashis, because the Gemara said, remember back in Shabbos, that there's a profound interrelationship between what is happening in the eye and the nerves that control the heart muscle. And therefore, if anything is going wrong with the eye, the guy can get a heart attack. And therefore, it's considered to be life-threatening 100%. So that for sure, I'm not asking you that. For on Shabbos, you're allowed to do. Kiko mi boeli. I'm talking about where you're over it already. Now you've been sick for the past 2 weeks and sof uchla. And now basically what you had is over, but your eye is still like mitushtash. It's not clear. And you want to put in kuchla just to make the vision better. Omalei, no, it's usher. So Rav Ashi asked it again from that same brayta. If ein mechabin et habakad, but you are allowed to put it out, because smoke gets in your eyes. So if smoke gets in your eyes and you're allowed to put out a bakat, so kosher cane, I mean, you should be allowed to use this kol in order to make sure that your eye is not unclear. I mean, certainly more than smoke, isn't it? And he said the same answer. He said, well, of course, that's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And for sure you would be allowed to. It never occurred to me you were asking Rabbi Yehuda. I was going Rabbi Rabbanah. A Meimar was matir going to a goy and having the goy do the kuchla of the ayin on Shabbos. And others say he did that himself, that he went to a goy. Not just he told somebody it's mutter, but a Meimar gufe kochal ene minochri b'shabbat, and he went to a goyisha doctor, a goyisha whatever. Omer le Rav Ashi, why are you saying that that's okay? Because Ula said that if you have a chola, even though it's just somebody who's sick, right? It's not somebody that has any sakana. So we said that you're allowed, there's no iser of amira la'akum when it comes to someone who's ill. So this is certainly someone who's ill, so that's why you were matered, right? The Omar Rav Amnuna, kol davar she'ein bo sakana, you're still allowed to have a goy do it for you, omer l'nochri v'yoseh. Yeah, but that doesn't apply here, because that would only be where you do not have to be part of the treatment. But over here, in order for that kuchla to get into your eye, I saw what you were doing. You were opening your eye, you were rolling your eyeball, and the guy was telling you, open your eye wide, now move your eye up, and you were doing all of that stuff. So then how are you telling me that this is mutter if you needed to be misayeya? Because that's only where you didn't have to do the work too, but over here, Rebbe, I mean, I saw what you were doing. Marka misayeya ba'adei, the ka'amid, supatach, you were like opening your eye wide, and then you were closing it, and whatever. Said Amemar to him, you know, I had another guy who made me problems. His name was Rivzvid. He held the same thing you held, that if you need to help out, so then it becomes osir. I set him straight, man, believe me. And I explained to them that Shinuyele Misayeya in Bo Mamash. Remember we had back in Shabbos? You have two people could do a malacha, and one of them can't do it on his own, and the other guy could do it on his own. And the guy who's Misayeya is not considered to be involved at all in doing a malacha. That's the halacha. So over here, doesn't matter that I was winking or blinking or whatever I was doing. None of your business. Anyway, a Memar Shara Lemikhal Eina Beyontif Sheni Sharosh Shana. A Maimar said that on the second day you could do it yourself. So it means he held that you should be making like a Yom Tov Sheni on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Omer le Rav Ashi la Maimar, I thought that Rava said before that a maize be Yom Tov Rishon. So then you have to have Goyim taking care of the maize. But on the Yom Tov Sheni, because it's a maize, and we said that we were matir to because it's specifically anything that was needed. Tzorach Shomeis, we said the Rabbanan said, treat it like chol. But that was special for a mace, right? So over there it said, Beyond Tosheni Yisasku Bo Yisrael, Afilu Bishnei Yomim Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah. But it said Beferish over there, but that should not be the case when it comes to a Beitza, like we said before, if a Beitza was nullah on the first day, Then when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's all considered to be Kedusha Achas. And we don't say that. You mean Manav Shach, it's going to be Mutter on the second day. So if that's the case, how are you allowing it to even be on Rosh Hashanah? Omar Lay, Sameimar said, you're right. Ravat certainly would have disagreed. However, I don't hold of that. I hold like the Nahar Doi. They said that even the Gabi the Dina Beitza, remember we had this before. The Nahar Doi said, listen, it's ridiculous to be Machmir on the second day of Rosh Hashanah and to say it's now considered to be Kedusha Achas. Because what's your real chashash? My daitra, Dilma Ma'abri Leila Elul. Because you're afraid, okay, maybe this year they actually did make Elul an extra day, and then the second day was the only day of Rosh Hashanah. I can tell you, it ain't ever happened, it ain't ever gonna happen. Because the Omer of Chinina Bar Kahana, Miyamot, Ezra, Ve'elach, except for that one time when the Edom came late, from the days of Ezra, never happened that we found an El Ma'uber. So therefore, it's all very nice. You want to have a minig or whatever, but don't tell me that you're going to answer treating Rosh Hashanah like a normal day of second day Yontif. Fine. And now we get to the last thing, and that was, you can't have pitin gritin El Rekikin. You have to have thin bread that you bake on Yom Tov, apparently because we are worried that you're going to be over on tircha that is yeterah. You do too much tircha on Yom Tov, you're not supposed to do that. Now, Tana Rabbanan, Beit Shammai Omrim, now look at this. You can't break thick bread on Pesach. Now, I mean, I'm assuming if the problem is on Pesach, then the issue is we're worried that if it gets very thick, so then you're not going to be able to protect it from chimutz, because by the time the inside gets cooked, it will already have been mischamet, right? I mean, that's why he's talking about Pesach, I'm assuming. And Beis Hillel are matir, and they're saying, look, even if it's very thick dough, if it's properly made, so then you can bake it quickly. I mean, obviously there has to be a limit, you know? So, I mean, what size are we talking about over here? I mean, it's certainly something that's going to be 10 feet thick. You're not allowed to bake on Pesach. So what's the shear? So what would be, according to Beis Hillel, what would be the maximum height of a piece of bread? We don't have to worry about the inside turning chametz. So kama pat avad that Beis Hillel is matir, Amar Rav Huna, one tefach. I know that because the lechem aponim, which was usher to be chametz, and we know that the lechem aponim was a tefach, because it's called ponim, and ain ponim b'chusim mi tefach, right? So therefore, it must be possible to make a tefach that's not chametz. Matkiflor of Yosef, how in the world could somebody learn out of the lechem aponim for people in their home? Can you tell me? I mean, one thing is, don't try this at home. Im amru bizrizim. I mean, like, these people have been practicing making the lechem aponim without getting chametz for generations. This was Mishpachas Beis Garmo. This was like their whole life was dedicated to this. You're telling me that these people are expert chefs in making the lechem aponim. They're going to be the model for what any shmo should be able to do and use a tefach. That is absolutely outrageous. Not to mention the fact that Imam Rube Pat Ameilad, you know that you have to rub it with your hand 300 times and pound it with your fist 500 times. You show me somebody who does that with the stuff they're baking at home, you know, and I'll show you a prize fighter. What are you talking about? How can you pry? You can't apply that. And Yom Ruba Pache Namela. And then, you know, the wood that they had in the Beis HaMikdash, that was wood that they stopped collecting on a Tuba of because of the fact that it would have too much moisture. You notice the moisture after Tuba of? Come off it. And that kind of wood was completely dry, generated a lot of heat. You're going to tell about people that have junky wood in their house, Yom Ruba Eitzim Lachim. And do you know that the tanur in the Beis HaMikdash was constantly in use, and therefore it was constantly hot, and when you put in the bread, it was like baked instantly. Mashenken in your house, it's going to take an hour till it even warms up. So Imam Ruba Tanur Cham, you're telling me you could do this at home? Yom Ruba Tanur Tzonein? And also, because of the fact that they needed to be Makadish the Lechem, they used the Tanur of Matechet because it needed to be a klishores. So they used the metal oven, and a metal oven gets much hotter. And you're going to now compare the metal oven in the Beis HaMikdash to somebody's Tanur Shalcheres at home? This is absurd. I mean, they couldn't possibly have been Matir based on Beis Garmo a Tefach. Omer B'Yirmiya Barab, I want you to know, I specifically asked Rebbe, my Rebbe, you know who my Rebbe is, that's Rav, and he said, pas ava does not mean thick bread. This has nothing to do with thick bread. We'll ask later on why we use the word thick bread. It means pat meruba, means you cannot bake more bread than is necessary on yontif. That's all that he's saying, nothing to do, we're going to ask later on, so what about, you know, the question about the chametz, why are we talking about Pesach? But remember that we said before, I'll leave it to Beis Hillel, the more bread, the merrier. Because according to Beis Hillel, the heat is going to actually be more effective in the baking of all of the bread. That's why we said before that he held that even if you've got a lot of bread, you're allowed to bake more than what you need, because it is going to help the bread that you do need. That's what we said. So what's going on over here is that here, Rav explained that the idea is nothing to do with chametz. It's the question about making food on Yontev, which you're going to do for after Yontev. So Beit Shammai is saying, you're not allowed to do that. You can only bake what you need for Yontev. And we don't rely on that reasoning of Beit Hillel that, well, it's good for the more bread there is, the merrier. There's another version of this, according to which Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba said it over in the name of Rav, that Rav said, I asked my Rebbe, and who is my Rebbe? That's Rabbeinu HaKadosh, was Rav's Rebbe. And he said pat ava means pat miruba. So why is it called pat ava? I mean, that's a funny way to talk about a lot of bread. You call it a thick loaf? Well, it's thick when you knead it, you see. So as you're doing the kneading, it's like very thick. So over there, it's like we're talking about don't do that, because it's like a lot of tircha. Or it just could be that, you know, maybe that's just the expression. In the Tana of the Mishnah, that's what they called. When they had a, like an oven full of different loaves of bread, they would call it, hoo-hoo, heavy bread, man. So that's like pat ava. It's just an expression. Anyway, michte. I mean, if the whole idea is that you're telling me that it's a tircha, then why the heck did he talk about Pesach? It should be, it has nothing to do with Pesach. You're telling me it has nothing to do with chametz. It has to do with how much tircha, Baruch Avram, you're falling asleep. Baruch Avram, beep. Yeah. So why did we say that this is Pesach oriented? It should be true any yontif. It does, it does. It just it happened to be that the sugya was taught during Pesach. So the Braiser was talking about all the other dinim of Pesach when he talked about this machloka. So he made it nogea, all the, but it's truth. It's exactly the same as all yontif, like the Mishnah. Tanya nami hachi. And it says beferish, Beit Shammai omrim, ein ofin pat meruba be yontif. So fine. So it was just another one of those things that were there to drive us crazy, that pat ava, and then you mentioned Pesach, so we got totally confused. So that way, we had a lot of time to discuss this, and we had tons of fun. Imagine Sukkos as Zman Simchasenu without having all of this fun. So, okay. So we had to raise the issue about Pesach as well.